You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
1 Samuel 16, let's make it do what it do, from the Message version at every campus, those watching online, here it is. Then he asked Jesse, is this it? Are there no more sons? Well, yes, there's the runt, but he's out tending sheep, Samuel ordered Jesse. Go get him. We're not moving from this spot until he's here. Jesse sent for him. He was brought in. The very picture of health, bright-eyed, good-looking. God said, up on your feet, anoint him. This is the one. Do me a favor. You're not being arrogant. You're just being honest. Slap seven people high five and say, I'm the one. Go ahead, tell them. No, say, I'm not trying to be phony, but I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm the one. Go ahead. No, tell two more people, for real though, I'm the one. You're sitting next to the one. You may be seated in the Lord's house. I want to begin a teaching this weekend titled, A Dude Named David. A Dude Named David. Today is part one, I'm the one. What if there had been a daily newspaper in Jerusalem or during biblical antiquity? Can you imagine going to Jerusalem.com or the Jerusalem Plain Dealer and reading this front page article? Local religious leader today has been caught in a web of deception. Reports are still sketchy, but he's been accused of sleeping with one of his soldiers' wives and getting her pregnant. Reports also say that in an attempt to cover up this adulterous pregnancy, he had the woman's husband killed, married her, and has now moved the woman into his mansion where she is pregnant with their illegitimate child. He's now in custody. Charges range from adultery to premeditated murder. Most of you know, without me going another further, I'm talking about a dude named David. A dude who, like most of us, seems to be a walking contradiction. On the one hand, he is an adulterous murderer. On the other hand, he is a prolific psalmist and a worshiper. How do you reconcile these two realities? During this short series, I want to attack his life, not from some narrow, provincial, cognitive appropriation of his life, no, but with a broad, honest, introspective investigation of our own lives and how we have been the blessed benefactors of God's grace. Man, let's deal with this dude named David. Do me a favor, look at verse 1 of chapter 16. I'm in 1 Samuel if you just got here. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. Come here. I know I say it every weekend. I'll keep saying it. A text without a context is a pretext. That's like going in the middle of the movie. You got to know what happened at the beginning. I can't start here. Oh yeah, everybody kind of knows about this selection of David, but how did it start? Well, remember, it's in chapter 8, everybody. Every campus, pay attention. Long series, and this is the beginning. If you miss it, it'll be hard to catch up. In chapter 8, everybody, the Bible says that Israel wants a king. They have a theocracy, but they desire a monarchy. Theocracy, God rules. Democracy, the people rule. Theocracy, God rules. They want a monarchy, one person rulership. We want a king. Why? Because all the other nations had a king. God said, y'all don't need no king. Y'all got me. I'm the king of kings, baby. They say, yeah, but we want a king like everybody else. We want somebody tall, handsome, with charisma to reflect anointing and leadership before other countries so we can look like the bomb nation. God says, y'all don't need another king. I'm enough. No, we know you're cool, God. We love you and all that, but we just want, has God ever let you have something that he didn't want you to have after He told you not that. And you know what some people say? They say, well, God gave them a king in his kind of permissive will. Ever heard that phrase? It wasn't his perfect will, but it was his permissive will. It wasn't his perfect will, but he permitted it. In other words, it was not his perfect will, but it was his permissive will. That's cute on paper, but it's not in the Bible. Either you're in God's will or you ain't. And can I tell you, it was not God's will, but he gave them what they wanted. And guess what? Saul started off pretty cool. Come here, let's make it applicable right quick. Has anybody ever came in your life and they was good at the beginning? Well, I feel like talking to somebody. Any movie of a bust that wasn't God's will, but it felt good at the beginning. Don't people be smooth when you first meet them? Can I talk to somebody? Don't people show you the best part of themselves and make you think everything gonna be okay? But whenever you bust a move that God didn't tell you to bust, inevitably people will show their true colors. That's why I tell people, you may as well be yourself, because if not, you will soon return. Don't be trying to keep a woman that likes to talk quiet. Don't try to make nobody quiet. Try to talk. They may do it for a while, but inevitably they will soon return. Saul then shows his true colors. God had already told him, if you get a king, he's going to take advantage of your women. He's going to dog your kids and take all of your money through taxes. Y'all should just hang with me. No, we want something we can feel now. We're tired of not having somebody in our bed. We're tired of raising these kids by ourselves. Give me somebody. Now, God said, I'm all you need in this season. No, we want somebody now. Well, inevitably, he shows his true colors, so much so that God rejects him. God says, I have rejected him. And as we move to the circumference of our story today, look at your Bible, because your Bible says this is so good, everybody. And 16, 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, don't look at me, look at your Bible. The Bible says, now the Lord, NLT, said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a cat named Jesse, because I've selected one of his sons to be my king. Let me read it from the Message version. It's on the screen. God addressed Samuel. So how long are you going to mope over Saul? You know I've rejected him as king. Fill your flask with anointing. I'm sending you to Jesse. I've spotted the very king I want among his sons. In essence, God says, you're sad, huh? Y'all better catch this. Why is Prophet Samuel so sad? I'll tell you why he's sad, because he loved the king. That's right. He was praying for the king. The king had issues, but he wanted Israel to win. He was praying for the brother with all of his issues that he would turn his heart toward God. Samuel had become Saul's intercessor, as it were. He was praying, come on, man, honor God. God wants to use you, player. God loves you. There's more in you than what you're producing. Don't keep going down this path. That's why mama pray for you every day. Come on. There's more in you. I'm hoping for you, brother. I'm your biggest cheerleader. There's more in you than these streets and hanging around and sitting up with this same cat and you kissing that other girl while you a girl. There's something more in you than what you are producing. And yet, watch this, everybody. The Bible says in the midst of his mourning, God checks him. God checks him and says, how long you gonna mourn over what I rejected? I feel like having church. He says, your misery does not minimize your mission. I know you're crying, but with tears in your eyes, get up and go do what I told you to do. I'm already preaching to 30 people at least 3 campuses who know that you've been going through something in 15 and 14 wasn't that great itself, and 13 wasn't nothing to smile about. You lost some people. You lost some friends. You dated some people. Husband didn't happen. Guess what happened? Somebody died in your family that you loved. One baby broke your heart, and you can be down so long that getting up ain't even on your mind. And can I tell you what's crazy? You got a right to mourn and be sad, because you're not superhuman, you're human. But God says, with tears in your eyes, get up anyway and do what I called you to do. I feel like preaching to 10 people. And can I tell you that God says, you don't necessarily have to stop crying, but still move while you're crying. I got to talk to somebody and tell you that God has called you to something, and the enemy wants to thwart your aggressiveness toward what God has called you to do. But God sent Pastor back home to tell at least 12 people that with all the stuff you going through, don't let your situation circumvent your praise. Don't let your pain put your progress on pause. Can I talk to somebody and tell you, God still has a plan? You know what? Thank you, Dr. Fluker, one of my doctoral professors. He used a term called dangerous memories. All of us got some dangerous memories where when you conjure up them dangerous memories, people start to cry. So just like any session I do, when you start hitting them hard places, who touched you that shouldn't have touched you? What this brother do while he claiming he love you? What this woman do to kill your self-esteem? You caught what? Caught her with who? What? Your friend? Oh, no. You saw this on the phone? You read? And people start to cry. And the anthropological human nature of everybody is when somebody starts to cry in the session, to start to rub their back and hug them, which makes them stop and paralyze their progress. So here's what I tell them. I say, do me a favor. Would you not touch her? Baby, don't stop crying. Watch this. But continue while you cry. I just lost 10 people. Continue while you cry, because what you're saying is the real stuff. And even if you gotta cry while you say it, you're on your way to a breakthrough. So with tears coming down your eyes, don't let your pain paralyze your progress. It's good to be back, y'all. Can I talk to about 50 people that have been through some stuff, and what the devil tried to do was to paralyze your progress. But I got a word for the devil. Lean on somebody and say, continue while you cry. Go ahead. Is there anybody that's been through some rough stuff this year or the past few years, and the devil tried to delete your destiny, but he made one mistake? He let you come to church this weekend. Now do me a favor. Praise God in the midst of your tears. Praise God no matter what you're going through. Stand up and sit back down and holler, I feel that. In verses 2-4, everybody, Samuel, everyone watching me in the overflow, pay attention online, whatever campus you're at, Samuel begins to tell God why he is limited in his expertise and how he is a bit afraid of what the king may do when the king finds out he's trying to pick another king behind his back. And here's what's crazy. I like what Pastor Darius said. I had a chance to watch all my pastors preach on DVD. I was throwing money at the TV as all of them were preaching. And one of the things that Pastor Darius said that blessed me is that Moses' limitation, God tells Moses, I can't preach, I stutter, I stammer, you don't want to use me. And God never corrects him. God never says, oh, yes, you can preach, because Moses couldn't preach. He never says, oh, yes, you are a good leader, because he wasn't that great of a leader. Here's what God says, I'll be with you. I got to go, y'all. As a matter of fact, it's your deficiencies that give him the glory. It's the fact that you're not all of that that makes it a miracle when stuff happens through you, to you, and in you. And so God never checks Samuel. He just says, go anyway, I'll be with you. And so finally, as we make it to the circumference of our text, everybody, it's cold-blooded, because your Bible says when he finally gets there, everybody, this is amazing. The Bible says that he goes up to his house, and this is good, everybody. He says to him, the next king lives in your house. Verse 1, this is amazing, everybody, because he says to him, the next king lives in your house. But the Lord said to Samuel, look at verse 6, everybody. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the anointed. Come to Pastor. Come here. He rose up to Jesse's house and said, Jesse, I got good news for you. The next king of Israel is one of your sons. Now, some of y'all are looking at me, but you don't realize that was a nagulus to winning the lottery. I mean, brother, you about to be stupid paid. One of your babies is the next king of Israel. Jesse said, oh my goodness, I know exactly which one. Hold on, where? Eliab, come here, Eliab. This my oldest baby. You know, brothers love their firstborn. Here's my oldest baby. His name Eliab. He is 6'6". The brother can hoop. He has charisma. All the girls want him. All the brothers want to be him. Y'all missed that. He got swag. This is the one. 6'5". I've been raising him all his life. I knew something good was going to happen. First time he came out of his mama's womb, I said, ooh, boy, you're my firstborn. God's going to do something. His mama loved him. This the oldest baby out of all my babies. This my oldest. Look how tall. And he has many cute. You the one. And so Samuel says, cool. Come here, boy. Let me put this oil on your head. He put the oil on his head, but the oil wouldn't run. He said, let me try that again. Oil wouldn't run. He said, I hate to inform you, but for whatever reason, the oil's not running on this brother. You sure? Try one more time. Oh, you know what? Okay, I did. Wow, that's kind of shocking, but it may be Abinadab. Hold on, my second oil. Hold on. Now, come here, baby. Come here. He's 6'3". Now, he's not as handsome as him, but sometime when they be playing basketball, he'll beat him sometime. And his mother said, This one may sneak you. This is my second oldest. Now, I thought it was my first oldest, but that's okay. Put the all on him, because I'm telling you, put the all on him. And so Benadab stood there, and Sammy said, no problem. He put the all, and the all wouldn't run. This is creating a bit of a paternal conundrum. He says, well, let me go get my third oldest boy. Let me go get my fourth oldest boy. They brought the fourth. Let me go get my fifth oldest boy. They go get the sixth oldest boy. And then finally they get to number. I used to have a church. Somebody go home and study numerology, because they was completely wrong. And finally, let's have church. After they had tried all seven, God said, which you remember in Sunday school, he told Samuel, you're mixed up because you're looking on the outside of a man, but I'm looking at the heart. Let's have stupid church. He says, you're judging him externally, but I got a brother I'm trying to pick because of his internal potential. Y'all not having church with me. Some of y'all don't believe this, but you know why I'm so glad? Your pastor has had the chance to stand on the Mecca of ministry stages. I've been every place. I have shook the president's hand twice. I've been all over the world. I've rode on private jets. I've stayed everywhere. I've stood and preached in conferences where I couldn't even see to the back. A wave of people, 10,000 people come hear me preach in my own city. And I'm telling you, in spite of all of that, do you know where I like preaching more than any place in the world? From the bottom of my soul, the Word Church. Now, some of y'all don't believe me, but let me tell you why I couldn't wait to get back here, because I've been places where everybody was walking around trying to be important and not really having no love. And even though the place was packed, you could feel it was all about money or what they could get or what it was about. But can I tell you what I like about this church? Please catch, now don't get it twisted. Half y'all absolutely, completely crazy. But even though you're crazy, let's have church. You got a good heart. Ooh, you don't believe me. Do you know what all my sons who preached for me told me? Every one of them said, Pastor, I have preached everywhere. One of my sons has preached in Caucasian churches where you can't even get in, three balconies. He says, I've been all over the world, Dad. He says, I've never been no place where as soon as you start preaching, they just start coming to the altar without you telling them to come to the altar. He said, every woman is crying, every brother throwing his hands up at you. He said, then I went to all your campuses, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get to one of these campuses, and somebody not going to look like the pastor. I don't care where you go, there's always some ignorant person who shouldn't be on staff, shouldn't be in leadership. He said, not here. He said, every place I went, they all look like you. They all love like you. They all hug like you. He said, every campus you went to on a Sunday morning, it felt like a convention. Now, what he didn't know is that you guys are not some erudite, aristocratic, sapient, sagacious, never make mistake people. You are some Negroes and white people that's been to hell and back, and Hispanic people. But can I tell you the difference between y'all and people in the street? Slap somebody and say, I got a good heart. Go ahead. I wish I had 15 people that have made some mistakes in your life, but the only reason you're standing here today is not because of your flesh or your mind, but you're standing here because God looked past all your faults and seen that deep inside you want to be right. You know what, y'all looking at me like y'all crazy. I pastor a real church. I just hugged a sister in Akron. On my way out the door, they whispered in my ear. I said, how you doing? She said, terrible. I've been waiting on you to get back. I done fell in love with a married man. Now, some of y'all say she should go to hell. Some of y'all said, that's a shame. Show is. I told her she too good for that. What he's really saying is that she ain't nothing and his wife ain't nothing. And what she's saying is that his wife and his kids ain't nothing, long as she feel good in the bed. I said, baby, you got to leave that alone because you're better than that. At the same time, pastor, do you hate her? No, because she still got a good heart. And some of y'all don't believe this, but you can be doing something trifling and get caught up in the mix. But the reason why God don't kill you in the middle of it is because he knows you got bad flesh but a good heart. Slap somebody and say, I'm not perfect, but I got a good heart. Matter of fact, I didn't come to church today to be seen by nobody. I ain't come to meet nobody. I came here to tell God created me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. Do me a favor, slap five people, say, I want God to work on my heart. That's the wrong person. Shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off and tell them I've done some trifling stuff, but my heart was right. I made some mistakes with my kids, but my heart was right. I've dated some dummies, but my heart was right. I've dealt with some bad people, but my heart was right. And Lord, keep fixing me on the inside. Don't just let me look cute on it, but Lord, create. let me get out of here, because verse 11 says, after all seven had come through, finally Samuel said, is this it? Are there no more sons? Do you have any more? He tried all seven. All wouldn't run. He tried all seven. And Samuel said, I don't know much, but God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And God said, the next king is in this house. Now, something got to be wrong. I didn't anoint seven, which is complete. And so is this completely the end of the sons that you had? And Jesse said, yeah, pretty. Oh, shoot. David. But he was our mistake child. We didn't even want to get pregnant. That's that last baby that came when you was through having kids and thought you was going to go to Hawaii the rest of your life, and here come this last one, got you raising babies at 65 years old. You know what I'm talking about, like me. That David, we don't even let him in the house. He just stay out there with the sheep. That's my little... David don't have wash up. David be dirty. David just my little ruddy. He cute. He cute as he can be. But Samuel said, go get him. Go get him. Go get him. And guess what happened? Just said, David, Hyundai. Would you, I was out there. And they didn't know. I was out there fighting a bear and a lion, practicing for Goliath. Y'all just made, oh God, you better be here next week, because all the stuff you've been fighting was preparation for the giants that's coming your way. That's next week. That's a teaser. Please catch this. David out there tending the sheep, not knowing he was going to have to write, the Lord is my. That's okay. Y'all not feeling me. And he said, yes, daddy, let this man put this oil on your hair. Okay, daddy. He had put the oil on all seven. Nothing happened. But what he didn't know is new beginning had walked in. Because eight is the number of new beginnings. Seven is completion, but eight is the number. Here come the eighth son, the underestimated son, the underdog son, the one that didn't win, most likely to become nothing, not the cutest girl in the family, not the best shape, not the pretty sister, not the one daddy loved, not the one that daddy rubbed, not the one that mama hugged, but little did they know, it was the sister in the back of the crowd. It was the underestimated cousin, the one that had the felony that God had a plan for. And can I suggest to you, David, let's have church, stands there, and Samuel put the oil in his head. Thank you, old folk. And the oil said, I believe I'll run on, see what the end's going to be. And the oil I feel like having church. Can I tell y'all what God said? God said, anoint him. This is the one. God bless y'all. We'll pick it up next weekend. But slap five people and say, I hate to tell you, but I'm the one. Go ahead. Some of y'all still sitting there. But can I tell y'all what happened? He gets anointed. I got too much in too little time. He gets anointed. What do you do when you're anointed for a position that's not available? Because you do know Saul is still sitting on the throne. He will be sitting there for years to come. So what do you do between the anointing and the appointing? What do you do when there are no doors open? Slap three people and say, praise them in the hallway. I gotta go, everybody. But can I get about 50 people with no shame in your game, that no matter what you're going through, while you're waiting on God, because you know you're the one, and because you know he's not finished with you yet, you'll open up your mouth on a Sunday morning, grab somebody by the hand, look them dead in the face, and say, get over it, you're the one. Yes. Yes. Can I get 50 people? Know deep in your heart that you are the one, passed over by friends, looked over by parents, but little did they know that God had his eye on you. They said you wouldn't make it. They said you couldn't take it. But you are the one that I preached to somebody at one of these campuses that would shake your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I'm the one. Don't make the mistake of overlooking me. I've made some mistakes in my past, but God has called my name, and I believe there's a fresh anointing that's getting ready to run down on my life. Now you can stand there and be cute or prophesy to yourself that I'm the one. It may not make sense, but I'm the one. You can talk about me, but I'm still the one. With your whole three people and say, neighbor, I hate to keep touching you, but like it or not, you're the one. Yes. Can I get a witness? Also, can I get a witness? And good evening, World Church. I've been gone for a while, but I'm glad today to come back and preach to y'all and tell you that you are the one. Yes, you are. Is there anybody here that's made some mistakes in your life? I came back to tell you, in spite of your mistakes, you've been picked out to be next in line for a miracle. Yes, you have. Is there anybody here? Yeah. That people overlooked, but little did they know, God has selected you to do something significant. They thought it was your sister. They thought it was your cute cousin. But little did mama know, the one she didn't speak to would have to pay her bills. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna close when I tell you, if you're not too mean, step in the nearest aisle, walk to your neighbor, turn around in your seat, and shake somebody's hand. Say, I'm the one. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I'm the one. God's not through with me yet. Oh, no. I gotta close today. The Bible says they needed somebody to come down to the world to die on the cross. They tried Adam, but Adam wasn't the one. They thought about Moses, but Moses wasn't the one. They thought about David, but David wasn't the one. But then finally, Jesus was there behind the altar in the book of Revelations, and Jesus said, if the Lord wants somebody, I'm the one. Just one more time, with your hug your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're the one. Would you look at three people, say, forget what they said, in spite of your felony, in spite of your ex-marriage, in spite of your addictions, in spite of your nastiness, in spite of your bad credit, God looked past everybody else and pointed at you. If you really believe it, shout like you the one, wave like you the one. I'll dare somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to close today. Yeah. Yeah. If you really believe it, I dare somebody in this crowded church to start praising God like you the one. I gotta close now, but I feel the Holy Spirit taking over this place. If God did some stuff for you when you should have been dead, if God picked you out of the crowd, then I dare somebody to obey your pastor and say, let me out this row. Go to walking around the church to people you don't know. Say, what's up, neighbor? You're looking at the one. I may not be cute. I may not be rich, but I'm the one. Turn around one and tell seven people, I'm the one. I feel the Holy Ghost. If you really believe it, go to praising him like you the one. Open your mouth. Yes. And goodbye, y'all. But the reason I'm preaching so hard this morning, I got to thinking about it a long time ago in 1971, born in the project, not that cute, didn't win nothing, didn't have the best grades, girls didn't like me, mama was too young, daddy wasn't ready, nobody voted, most likely to succeed, not the most handsome, couldn't really hoop, but God called down and said, Samuel, go down to Longwood. There's a pointy-headed boy who blinks too much with pointy ears and a big nose. But go in the projects and put the oil on his head. And I gotta ask you, is there anybody here that God came in your life and pointed at you in the penitentiary, pointed at you in a crazy marriage, pointed at you just one more time, shout, I'm the one. But just be obedient and look at somebody and say, don't underestimate the child in your house that don't look like much. Don't underestimate the grandchild that's in prison. They may be the one. Don't look over me because I ain't got no husband. I may be the one that has to pay your bills. He would use. Y'all go get me every dope man in the city of Cleveland. Get me every stripper. Get me every lesbian. Get me every murderer. You never know. The oil might run on somebody that you didn't.
Oh! and black. his son. His son.
This is Wade Hampton in the Weather Center. Let's check our Thursday weather forecast. In Shreveport, it's the final day of sunshine. We're expecting rain over the next couple of days. Look for a high temperature at 77 and an overnight low at 55. Monroe will have sunshine with a high at 75 and an overnight low at 49. Sunny in Lake Charles with a high at 73 and a low at 58. Natchez, Mississippi, checking in with sunshine with a high temperature at 71 and an overnight low at 49. And here in the central city, it'll be sunny with a high at 69 and an overnight low at 51. That's a look at your Thursday weather forecast. I'm Wade Hampton.
KAYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
To help prevent the spread of coronavirus, Louisiana Express Pharmacy is giving away face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and a thermometer to Louisiana Medicaid recipients with diabetes, such as Louisiana Healthcare Connections. You will be able to get more details at 318-469-0709 and at the toll-free number 800-988-7448 or online at LouisianaExpressPharmacy.com. On Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube at Diabetes Depot, Louisiana Express Pharmacy is giving away face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and a thermometer to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. The coronavirus care packages are brought to you by Louisiana Express Pharmacy, a sponsor of KAYT, KQJOFM.
Kelly Sitting Services is a personal care attendant agency. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for the past 25 years. We are locally owned and locally operated. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion through our ministry. Kelly is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. Kelly is an equal opportunity employer. You can reach us 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784 or our website located at KellyServiceHouston.com. Another proud sponsor of KAYT.
This is KAYT and KQJOFM. Five cities strong all day long. 4/7.
That's my only station.
Somebody didn't hear me.
mother told me about a long time ago. That's the one that I'm dreaming about. That may be some little boy or some little girl that I'm listening to me. Maybe doing the same thing. If he is, it's all right to dream of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming. Maybe somebody didn't hear me say I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Are you doing the same thing? And if you're dreaming of a white Christmas, all right.
Much stuff and not enough space. Minimax Self-Storage, located at 3700 Lee Street at Industrial, offers commercial and residential space, which includes individual door alarms, coded gate access, fenced and lighted for your safety, plus climate control or non-climate control, whatever you prefer. They're open 7 days a week and can be reached at 449-8988. That's Minimax Self-Storage on the corner of Lee Street and Industrial.
Trey Huffman, owner of Minimax Storage, is a proud sponsor of KAYT.
Aren't you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Are you spending your tax refund as soon as you get it? Welcome to 360 Financial Services, where you can fix your credit, file your taxes, and increase your financial stability. Hi, I am Catrice Mason. Fix your credit by disputing every negative item on your credit report. No matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You'll be able to get a quote at no expense and file your taxes at 360 Financial Services. I'm also looking to partner with like-minded entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere with no background check and no overhead. Start 2021 with new goals, excellent credit, and a cash advance. God is opening new doors for you at 360 Financial Services. 318-730-8441.
360 Financial Services is a proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO FM.
You know who it is.
Who it is?
It's the station for every generation. KAYT KQJO FM. Alexandria, Shreveport, Monroe, Lake Charles, and Natchez, Mississippi.
Behind closed.